Hey, everybody, with the Tri-State Sports Guys. I'm O. This is Mike. Tony D behind the glass.
Yeah!
JT behind the ones and twos.
Yo, yo!
Taking over from Mike T, who is on assignment as always.
He's the hardest working guy in the business.
He
Mike
is.
T. We love you, brother.
We are at the Perry Avenue Bar here, and as Tony and I drove into the studio today, as discussed, Mike, you have not put your house up for sale yet, as we discussed last week. Eli Manning, Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
The Giants win.
Yeah.
After your rant.
Yeah.
It's got to be a tough place to walk around in this neighborhood. I know a lot of people are ready to come at you today.
Well, people came at me. My biggest thing is it was amazing to me the obsession as to who I was rooting for. Because I wasn't coming after the Giants. I didn't think that it was a crazy idea that they were going to win this game. I mean, I picked the pass, but who I picked had no bearing on who I was rooting for. But it got to be ridiculous. I mean, the guys I wound up watching the game with all Giants fans, really, and they were all over me for it. And I'm like, what the hell do you care? How does it impact your enjoyment of the game? Who I'm rooting for? I watched the game with you. I wasn't overly boisterous about it.
You weren't. You weren't. I think that what people were getting after and were looking forward to calling, and once again, they can call it 347-637-2306, is that as a diehard Jet fan, which you clearly are, and as a big Eli hater, which, and we'll get into whether you still are, but you clearly were, for you to pick the Patriots, that's a tough thing to do as a Jet fan. So people couldn't believe that you really hated them that much.
Well, that's what amazed me. I mean, I had people tell me I wasn't a real Jet fan because of who I was rooting for. And I was honest with you last week. I mean, it makes no sense. I understand the, you know, politically correct the Jet fans, you can never root for the Patriots. And I wasn't really rooting for the Patriots as much as I was rooting for the Giants to fail. Because and it wasn't the Giants team, it was clearly the fans. Even as I watched the game, any play where they caught a break, it was never a break for the Giants. It was that the Giants forced this. The Giants forced the safety at the beginning of the game, even though he had 10 seconds to throw that ball. Somehow the Giants forced that safety, even though it was the worst decision I've seen Tom Brady make in his entire career. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, going into the game, you say, well, this is a lose-lose. This is a worst-case scenario for a Jet fan. And I was thinking that the whole time. But when the whistle blew at the end and that final Hail Mary fell and it wasn't completed, I got to be honest, my true Dread fan came out and I saw Tom Brady sitting there pouting. I saw the press conference after the game with Wes Welker, who loves to run his mouth about the Jets, and he's crying in his press conference, and I was thrilled. So at the end of the day, you know, you got to take the lemons and make lemonade. It was a beautiful day for the season. You know, I was going to win-win.
I see that point, and you're a positive guy, so you're making that move.
I'm not making move. I'm telling you how I genuinely felt. I'm not lying to you.
But no, I understand. But don't you think, to some extent, I mean, you are such a critic of Eli Manning. You can't deny that.
Yeah.
And all he's done now is put himself into the upper echelon. We're going to get into that later.
We'll get into it. But, I mean, he clearly was fantastic that whole game. I mean, you know, he didn't make the mistakes throwing the ball as far as, you know, throwing interceptions. There wasn't, like, you know, even last week there was a couple plays that clearly could have been picked. You didn't see that this week. You saw he made some great decisions with the football. He made some throws that literally the most elite of quarterbacks don't make. And, you know, I'll give him credit where credit's due. I mean, he deserves to win that MVP. So now he's a two-time MVP. I still stick by the fact that his first MVP award was not one of those MVP. He got it by default. This one, he clearly went out and did it. You know, it doesn't really change how I feel about him as a quarterback in general. We're going to go into our top 10. But it is something to factor in. I mean, the guy on the biggest stage clearly elevates his game. Why he doesn't play that well all the time, it's your guess is as good as mine. Why he doesn't play well and there's 7 losses, if he's so elite and this team is so good and was better than the number one seed, why were they 9-7 this year? You know, there's a lot of things to look at. You know, this game has been dissected a million different ways, so I think it's kind of a waste of time for us to sit here and go through every play here. But, you know, there's a couple plays we have to address. First, starting with the safety, I mean, my only thing is, you know, like what I said, the Giants fans I'm watching the game with, they're not acknowledging the fact that that was a bad play. And I don't call a play like that like a luck for the Giants, because the other team's got to make plays. But it is amazing to me that Tom Brady made that decision.
The thing about that decision is that play is, I watched recap after recap, that penalty's never called, just throwing the ball over everyone's head. Sometimes you see it called when
I've seen people throw the ball downfield even though it's not over the middle of the field, I've definitely seen people try to throw the ball downfield.
But down the middle of the field, like you see people throw the ball to the back of the end zone where it's clearly
– Well, the back of the end zone is one thing.
Why is that not intentional? It's clearly they're not trying to reach anyone. They're just throwing it out of bounds. I think you see it more when they throw it to the sidelines.
But it's clearly – I understand, and I would love to sit there and say that it was a bad call, but it was the right call. It's just rarely called.
Exactly.
But that's not a fact. That doesn't impact whether it was the right call or the wrong call. It should be called. Clearly, he was throwing the ball away. What I don't get is, I mean, he had so much time. And, you know, when we looked at the big safety on Mark Sanchez, where he had all this time and he didn't get rid of the ball, and everybody says, well, you know, a good quarterback has this internal clock that if you know there's nobody open and you're standing in your own end zone, you got to just get out of the end zone or get out of the pocket and throw the ball away. Or if he just threw a ball over the middle more on a line and say, oh, you know, I'm trying to hit one of the crossing guys. I mean, you can't make that play. A rookie can't make that play.
Nerves.
Right.
Nerves got to him.
He really did, though. I mean,
I just think that he really believed that –
But I'm Tom Brady and nobody's going to call this on me?
I just think that play just doesn't get called usually over the middle.
How many times do you see it? I've maybe seen it a couple times. Somebody throwing the ball downfield out of their own end zone in the middle. I don't know that I've ever seen it, though. So what do you mean it's never been called? I don't know that I've seen a guy standing in his own end zone throw the ball 30 yards past everyone in the world.
I don't know that it has anything to do with him being in the end zone. That's why he got a safety, but you don't see the intentional grounding called.
Well, but I think it would only happen because I don't think he would have tried to scramble out of it or take a sack. That's why.
Oh, I don't know.
If you're on a 50-yard line, you're not making that play. I mean, you don't.
Maybe that's why it's typical. Maybe that's why you're saying, you know
it
what?
It just doesn't happen that much. Yeah, it just doesn't happen that much. There's not a lot of scenarios where that happens. But he had the ball at least 5 seconds though before he, and then he did get pressure, and that was just a terrible, terrible play by him. So obviously the next big play, you look at the 12 men on the field. You know, that's just a terrible job by the Pats. It wasn't even like somebody was running off the field. They just lined up with 12 guys. That was terrible. You know, they finally get the big turnover there. The Giants did catch some breaks with their fumbles. They wind up just being in spots where they were.
You need those breaks, though.
Right. And what I'm saying is to say that the Giants got breaks is not taking anything away from what they did. And that's why I don't understand the frustration with Giants fans when somebody says that they got breaks. There's no problems with getting breaks because every game there are breaks. It's what you do with them. The fact that, you know, 2 weeks ago when they had to play with Williams and it goes off his leg, they still had to score the touchdown, and they didn't. Eli made that big play. Whereas there were mistakes that the Niners could have capitalized on, like the two balls that were clearly should have been picked. They ran into each other and didn't do it. So the difference is every game there's a couple of breaks like that, and the Giants just took advantage of it, and the Giants didn't make those mistakes on their end.
They did, though. They just recovered all the fumbles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a good break. I mean,
that is a good break. That is a good break when there's six guys around the guy who fumbles, and the ball just happens to bounce where there's Heinoski.
Are the two plays that I agree with you. Those are good breaks.
But you don't have to apologize. I agree. You don't have to apologize for breaks. If my favorite team wins the championship, I don't care how we win the championship.
Right.
Championship's a championship, but I do think that this, and we're going to go over some key plays, but everyone's all over Welker about this drop.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about this. Yeah.
And granted, Wes Welker never drops that ball. He catches almost everything, really.
Yeah.
Was not a good. He was wide open.
It was
not a good throw.
You're being kind. That was a terrible pass.
Well, it wasn't terrible only because it wasn't like...
Dude, he was wide open, though.
But I'm saying
Mark Sanchez made that pass, I don't even think they would have blamed the wide receiver. If Mark Sanchez made that pass to Antonio Holmes, everybody would have said Mark Sanchez can't in a big spot.
And if it wasn't as good a receiver as Welker, they would have put more blame on Brady. I agree with you there. 100%.
Now, I'm not trying to compare these two quarterbacks, but think back to the first Giants game against the Cowboys. And you look at the game that Tony Romo had, and he had a very good game. And he threw that ball downfield, and he missed Miles Austin, if you remember. Miles Austin lost it into the lights or whatever.
Yeah.
But you heard all these analysts saying, well, that's the difference between Tony Romo and a big-time quarterback is he always makes too few plays. He can't make that one play when they need it. He could have a great game. And this was the play for Tom Brady to make. And, you know, I think it's time we start talking about the legacies of these guys. And, you know, if you would ask anybody 5 years ago, you look at Bill Belichick, he is in the conversation as the greatest coach of all time. And you look at Tom Brady, and he's in the conversation as the greatest quarterback of all time. But then you look at what's happened over the last 5 years or so, and you look at, you know, them losing after an undefeated season, them losing to the Jets last year at home in their first game of the playoffs. You look at what they did the year before against the Ravens. You look at what they did this game. I mean, Brady was great at some times, but you look and you want to put yourself in the greatest of all time.
Well,
Joe Montana, you think he puts that ball right on his numbers?
He
Wes Welker's like 5'6". It's hard to. I mean,
oh, that's not
come on.
The guy's
wide open.
The guy's
wide
open.
The guy
should have made the catch, but if he made the catch, he would have gone to the ground on the 20. Instead of he hit him on stride, he had a chance to make a play and score a touchdown.
If he hits him in stride, the safety crushes him over the middle.
You don't think you can make a guy miss? That's all he made his living doing.
There's another play that people don't even talk about. When Deion Branch is wide open over the middle, and if he would have just waited half a second,
Deion
Branch clears that safety or that linebacker, whoever it was. Instead, he threw it, and the linebacker or safety should have intercepted it. I think, and you and I talked about this last week, I brought it up very quickly, was that if this were to happen, which it wound up happening, Brady can't be in that conversation. He's a great quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer. He's not in that conversation because he lost two Super Bowls to the same guy. He hasn't won one in 8 years. That is a long time to not win a big game.
And you look at some, and look at what he's done against good defenses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that that's the difference. You look at what the Jets did to him last year in the playoffs. Remember he threw that terrible pick? I think it was to Bart Scott. One of the linebackers picked him off early on like a little screen pass. I mean, against good defenses, he's just not the same quarterback.
I do think that you see, though, that it doesn't matter how good you are, you still need a good receiver. And while Wes Welker is a great receiver, much like Cruz is, Cruz can get shut down. And Welker didn't catch, I don't think he caught one first down. The biggest play of the game for the Patriots was Ocho Cinco, 21 yards.
Yeah.
You need a big play guy who can get downfield. And usually for the Patriots, they use Gronkowski in that sense, but he wasn't able to this week. I think that fundamentally, if you don't have a receiver who can get downfield, you are a flawed team. And we thought that the biggest flaw for them was their defense, and it wound up being the fact that
great. They got 19 points.
Exactly, and it wound up being that they simply just didn't have enough ways to get the ball down the field.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And you know, the pick goes back to, you know, not having a healthy Gronkowski. But even, you know, because a healthy Gronkowski breaks that play up,
you know,
but he threw that ball 10 yards
short. I'm glad you said it. Everyone, every Patriot fan, I sit right behind a Patriot fan at work, everybody brings this fact up. If Gronkowski was healthy and he's downfield, I got news for you. If Gronkowski was healthy, Blackburn wouldn't be the guy covering him 60 yards 100%. Downfield. The Giants aren't stupid. They realize this guy can't move. Blackburn, who I've made fun of many times, he's the slowest guy in the field. He was in construction up until the Packers game when they signed him.
He's a teacher.
They literally only put him on there because he clearly couldn't move.
He made a nice play on the ball, but you're right. 100%.
I don't care that he should have, if he would have overthrown him. Well, you know what? It would have been someone else covering him.
Right.
It's a whole different situation.
Now, you know, I'm going to give a bunch of credit to the Giants, but, you know, Mad Dog Russo, my favorite guy on the radio.
I know where you're going with
this. I put this up on – I follow him on Twitter. He's fantastic on Twitter, and he's just needling Giants fans. And, you know, you got to respect the guy. He didn't make it about face like Craig Carton, who now is pretending to, like, you know,
he's
just joking around about everything. Oh, I was just joking around. Mad Dog today tweets, let's sum up the Giants' run. 7-7, disastrous Jet and Cowboys teams. Falcons were soft. Packers had an off week. Kyle Williams was lost. And Welker's dropped. And then he just sums it up. He doesn't give him credit for anything. Now, I will agree with him that the Giants' season clearly turned around with that Jet game. They caught a good break where they were coming off a bad loss. They had a big-time game on a big-time stage against a not-big-time team at that time. So it was good. I mean, but after that, they had to go beat the Cowboys for a second time. It's never easy to beat a team twice, like I was saying last week. Again, they had a good matchup in the first round, but they should have had a good matchup in the first round. They had a home game. I mean, course you had a good matchup. You know, you can't possibly say to just give it to the Packers having an off game. The Giants destroyed the Packers.
It also doesn't matter because the reality is wherever there's a hero, there's a goat. There has to be a goat.
Yeah. Right.
So,
somebody was tweeting back to him saying, well, when your Giants won the World Series, were you saying
that guy Conrad.
About, were you saying about Bruce Conrad making
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know
That's
what?
That's what I'm saying. It happens. You didn't make the errors, and they made the errors. That's what I'm saying. But half of the battle is not making mistakes. So, clearly, the Giants were the better team this past week because they didn't make those mistakes. They didn't do those stupid things. So, that's the difference. You know, we got a couple guests coming up, but let me just segue into some things not football related dealing with the Super Bowl. You know, the two big things everybody talks about, the commercials. Now, you know, we had about 50 people over my house for the commercials. To be completely honest with you, I didn't watch any commercials.
I was down on them.
They
made a point to watch them the next day.
The commercials have been getting terrible every year.
But sometimes they're funny.
But they've been getting worse.
I was down on them this year.
It was real bad.
None of them were good.
The only one that I've seen afterwards, I literally didn't see any because I was always getting somebody food or whatever it was during commercials.
Such a great host.
I was just going to say that.
I was.
You're saying it was a going away party.
It was a host.
He's got to move out of the
house. I was trying to push some couches on some people. So, you know, I like the Matthew Broderick one. If it didn't have the hype going into it, the Ferris Bueller one, that's pretty good, right? I don't know. To me,
how do you hate on Ferris Bueller?
Oh, negative on anything.
It was all right. It didn't appeal to me.
What? You don't like Ferris?
It didn't appeal to me. The commercial.
I like Ferris. I'm like 11.
One of the commercials, the panda bear or the polar bear, like I didn't get it. Like I usually get them. Like the Clydesdales are usually kicking extra points. Those are funny. I didn't see any of that this year.
Yeah.
Show me something that makes me chuckle.
You think it's funny that the Clydesdale kicks an extra point? That's
no.
The kind of humor
I thought it was funny. Anyone
left third.
Hold on. The guy says, do they always do this? They were kicking extra points, and the guy turns to the other guy and says, do they always do this? And he goes, no, sometimes they go for two. Now, that's funny.
Oh,
I don't care
wow.
Who you are.
Wow.
Anyway,
what was that?
What? No, we're not repeating that joke.
It's not
terrible.
A joke. It was the commercial. It's not a joke.
It is a joke.
It should have been a joke.
In the commercial, and it was horrible. So the second
piece. You guys
piece,
don't know what you're talking about.
We don't know funny. The second piece is the halftime show. Now, again, I didn't watch any of the halftime show. I'll be completely honest with you. I went outside, had a cigar with a couple other
Good choice.
So I didn't watch it, but to be honest with you, you know, people, they were excited about it. I'll tell you right now, the people, you know, older people in my office were all about it.
They were
all excited about it. I mean, I know when I did come back inside, if everybody was watching, you could hear a pin drop in here listening to it. So it is a big deal.
I went to work the next day, and I work with probably 10 people who went to the Super Bowl, and they all sat in different places, and every one of them said that everyone around them loved the halftime show. Some people hated it,
yeah,
like who were watching it, but the reality was every single person was tuned in because everyone kind of knows Madonna in some way.
Yeah, right. People were analyzing it. No,
people apparently in the stadium it played.
So you like the fact that they do these big extravagant halftime shows. And my thing is, I get why they do it. Because
I'm not sure that I like it. I just kind of
you understand why
I've
they
accepted
do
it. I've accepted it.
I mean, they must spend so much money on
no
it.
No doubt.
If there was, they need better selection.
You know what I mean?
It would be so good if you got people in there that were decent and weren't 100 years old.
Well, last year they had the Black Eyed Peas and they were brutal.
Well, the Black Eyed Peas suck anyway.
Well, they were brutal.
Well, that's sincere.
You know, look. They,
who do you want in there?
Never gonna,
they didn't have the Rolling Stones.
He's
the Rolling Stones.
AC/DC,
baby.
If they could have the Woo in there, it would bring the place down.
No. It's better.
The reality is they, after that whole Timberlake, Janet Jackson thing, they go for someone who they can relate to. Rolling Stones, they overshot the other way. They're coming back. Madonna, towards the end, when she was singing Like a Prayer and things like that with CeeLo, everybody knows that song. Everybody's into it.
It's cool.
What about the 8-9 minutes before that?
That's what I was
going to
say.
She walked
but when she's
everywhere.
Singing these weird songs,
right,
she's trying to do cartwheels and needs to be helped to do the cartwheel. That's just
all right,
awkward
yeah, the
for
woman,
everybody. That's
yeah.
Awkward for everybody involved.
Right,
she almost
right,
went out.
Okay,
she almost
so,
out.
So you guys agree that maybe that the idea of, like, to me, I would like to see it completely change. I'd like to see them do a quarterback skills competition at halftime or something like that. I think everybody would watch that. If you had the guys in the Pro Bowl come out and do a pass, you know, kick, you know, whatever, just a passing competition, or they did something like that. But I wouldn't have bring in the wives
exactly.
Or the non-sports fans. And I'm not even saying just the women. There's plenty of guys that were into watching it. And I understand that's why they do that. And that's fine. So maybe that is the right thing to do. Now, we're lucky enough on the hotline, we have a guy. Now, you know, he's a local guy. The guy's he's an American Music Award winner, founder of the Damon Grant Project, percussionist extraordinaire. Damon Grant. Damon, are you with us, buddy?
I'm here. How you doing?
My man. Well, so what's going on? So Damon was involved in the halftime show, which is, you know, a huge thrill, obviously. Now, Damon, I got to ask you, so, you know, you've been involved in some huge products, you know, projects. You've been a part of a Tony Award-winning show on Broadway. You know, you've opened for John Mayer, Colby Calais. You know, you've worked with Javier Colon. I mean, how did this experience compare to work? I mean, can you compare it to anything else, or was it just a standalone, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing? Give me your take on it.
Well, it was really cool once I got all of the information. At first, you know, everything was very vague. They were very secretive about how much information we knew. And I wasn't the only one involved. There was, you know, about a dozen of us that were involved with this. And I knew that when we got involved, they just, you know, the information is very limited. So I approached it like any other gig. I was like, okay, yeah, well, you know, I'm cool. Let's do it. And then as the correspondence continued and, you know, we had to sign these confidentiality agreements and non-disclosure agreements. And then I was like, all right, this is pretty serious now. So yeah, I started to get a little nervous, especially when we knew that the first rehearsal date was coming up and none of us had music yet. That was probably the scariest part.
Crazy, man. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, we actually got the music in the afternoon the day before the rehearsal that we had to do. So it was a lot of last minute preparation. So all of us had to be like at the top of our game and go in, and they had it planned out, you know, to a schedule, and we actually went in and were able to be ahead of their schedule. So they were really happy with that, that we were prepared when we got there.
And so you know, you had a specific role, and it's from what it sounds like, you know, because of the secrecy and everybody being so tight-lipped. I mean, a lot of times you didn't even know what other pieces of the production were doing, right? I mean, you're focused on your role, and then, you know, whoever else was doing something else, it wasn't like your typical gig where, you know what the whole production is. I mean, you were kept in the dark about what other folks were doing, right?
Yeah, we the only reason I knew that CeeLo was involved and that Nicki Minaj and MIA were going to be involved was after the fact, I Googled. You know, I went to Google, and like there were certain things that people had said on like certain, you know, TV shows like Access Hollywood or whatever those shows are. But you know what I mean? Like I only knew the 45 seconds to a minute that we were involved in. And even when we were in the rehearsal, they didn't really tell us much of what they were planning. It just, this is what you're going to do, and thank you for coming, and you know, we hope to work with you in the future. And
right, yeah, right. Now, let me ask you, and you might not want to answer, but let me just ask you a quick question. So obviously, you know, the buzz afterwards was what happened with MIA, and you know, she gives the finger, and they tried to dump out of it as quickly as possible. Now, I don't know how much you knew about that or whether they were successful in dumping out of it, but does that kind of, the fact that, you know, you put all this work into it and it was a great show or whatever, you know, whatever people's opinion are on it, and then that's the thing that people are going to remember about it 10 years from now. Does that frustrate you as somebody that put, you know, your sweat and tears into it and this is what people are going to remember?
I think for me, I actually felt a little sadness for Madonna. Because I know that she, you know, had been getting all this heat about, you know, wardrobe malfunctions and, you know, is it going to be good and all this stuff. And, you know, she's not a spring chicken. She's been doing this forever. She's 53, you know.
Right.
She's been out there, you know, and everybody knows that everything she's done, she's always been trying to push the envelope. And she actually came to our session and was all business. You know, she was really cool, really down to earth. And, you know, she was a consummate professional. So now an artist that's, I'm going to say, not as established as a Madonna comes out and does this, you know, fiasco that maybe happened for maybe 10 seconds and half of the people watching didn't even catch it. And, you know, they all had to rewind it. And this is what the big uproar is about. I feel a little sadness for Madonna because that's what people are going to remember. They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, Madonna, you know, did an homage to the fact that Liz Taylor passed away, and she, you know, she had the outfit. That's what her outfit was. And she did an homage to how the halftime shows used to have marching bands, which is why they had the marching percussion section. But no one's going to, you know, look to those that attention to detail. They're going to look to, oh, yeah, this one hip-hop artist gave the finger that maybe some people missed or saw. You know, that's my sadness towards somebody as established as Madonna.
Yeah, I hear you. I kind of figured, you know, I mean, that is – It does kind of stink for Madonna, obviously. You know, she's the headliner here, and somebody else came in and stole the show with something ridiculous. You know, not that I take offense to it, but the fact that, you know, that's what's remembered about it, that's what's going to be remembered about it, is a frustrating thing.
Damon, this is you mentioned earlier that when you got all this non-disclosure agreements, you just decided the best thing to do is to kind of treat it like just another gig. Now, as a musician who is so successful and done so many different things, when you think about doing something for the Super Bowl, is that something that is, maybe for lack of a better word, that appealing to you, or do you just simply look at it as like just another gig that happens to be, you know, worldwide televised?
Oh no, I looked at it as it was just another gig until I got the disclosure agreements, and then I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, what am I getting myself into here?
Then I got a little nervous. Then I was like, all right, I don't know. And the thing that made me the most nervous was I had no information. I only had what they told me. I didn't, you know, I couldn't really prepare ahead of time. Like, I was fortunate enough to be in the Olympics in 96, and we prepared for that for a long time. We knew what was coming. We knew the ins and outs. We knew everything. So when we got there, there was there was no pressure.
Did you at least know it was Madonna or no?
That was like maybe the week of. The week of.
Oh, wow. So you, when you signed up, you had no idea who he was even performing.
No, I mean, I knew she was doing it, but I didn't know that.
You didn't know what your role would be.
Right, and I didn't know that she was going to be there when we were when we got together. She showed up on her own will. I didn't know she was going to be there until she was there.
That's great. That's awesome. So, Dame, you know, we talked a little bit about before we took your call about, you know, just the format of the Super Bowl halftime show in general, about, you know, it's always got to be this big pomp and circumstance, this huge act, and you know, it's a huge production. They shut the field down. They get all these people. And I know you're a sports fan and a musician. I mean, what do you think about it? I mean, for me, I understand why they do it. It doesn't appeal to me, but do you think it's the right thing for the Super Bowl to do, to have a show like that and do something like that, or would you like to see something different? What's your opinion on it?
I mean, for me, I understand that the bottom line is making money, selling tickets, getting people in the stands, getting people excited about the event. And I know that because it's in the entertainment industry, even though it's through a medium of sports, they need to figure out a way to entertain the public and try and tie in as many avenues as possible, whether it's wardrobe or music or sports. You know, like, it is award season, so they're trying to get people to pay, turn in and watch, you know, all these shows on TV. I don't think that they can stop this train. It's already going. It's been going since, you know, they had marching bands playing at halftime of a high school football game. Like, that train is going. There's no way that they're going to derail it or really change it up. The only way they can do it is make it more or less appealing to wide age groups and generational opinions and perceptions and tastes and likes. You know, I think that they just have to be more creative about how they go about it, not really change it to something else or get rid of it, you know.
Well, Damon, thank you for coming on. It was obviously a thrill to have you on. So to be a part of the halftime show, couldn't be any more thrilled to have you on. Give us a little, give our listeners a little idea where you're going to be, where they could check you out. You got any gigs coming up?
Actually, not in the area of Fairfield County. I'll be leaving to go to New Orleans and then to Cozumel, Mexico in a couple of weeks, and then I come back in the area, and hopefully I'll have some stuff in the area in March and April. So,
well, listen, Dame, we're worldwide. I'm sure we have listeners down in New Orleans. Don't worry about it, dude. They'll be listening to you. They'll be wearing their Tri-State Sports Guy shirts, and you just say, hey, you know, thanks for listening, brother.
Thanks for having me on the all show. Right. It's been a pleasure, and Happy New Year to all of you. And I hope the Jets can turn it around. I'm a Jets fan, and I'm tired of seeing them shoot themselves in the foot. It's just heartbreaking.
Not if Buffalo has anything to do with it. if the Bills have anything to do with it.
What
happened
dude,
to the Bills? They ran out of
coming
team.
On, buddy. Keep listening. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Let's talk to somebody who was a big proponent of letting you know that you shouldn't be against Eli Manning, the great Eli Manning, the champion Eli Manning.
Who are we going up to?
Let's go to Cowboy Ireland. Cowboy, are you there?
I'm there, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, Cowboy, but more importantly, how are you? You're flying high. You got another Super Bowl ring for your team. Eli Manning, you were defending him like he was one of your sons. Mike is here with me. I know you have a lot to say to him, so take it away. What are your thoughts?
Well, the way I feel about Eli is this season, he kind of proves what type of player he can be. And you can't disagree with Mike that there are seasons and there were times where every Giant fan wanted no part of Eli. And it's kind of similar to what Sanchez is going through right now. But as he got through, especially this year, he keeps getting better every year, and when you doubt him the most, that's when he shines. And that's what I love about Eli, especially when you're sitting there watching him lose four straight. You're sitting there, we have everybody's praising Tom Coughlin now. When they're losing to Redskins, everybody was bashing Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. So it's kind of like you got to take him with a grain of salt. There are times where he looks bad, but for the most part, he is a great quarterback, and I think those that run this year proves what type of quarterback he can be.
Now, Kevin, you know, I know you're a huge fan. I know you went down to the parade. Something I wanted to get to earlier on in the show. Tell us a little. I mean, there's a million people at this parade. Tell us a little bit about the experience.
Now, listening to all the local radios, they're telling everybody not to drive and try to train it. Trains are on running double schedule, so you won't have any problems getting down there by train. So I brought my kids down there and two other friends of mine, and I drove down, and I'm telling you, it's unheard of leaving Norwalk at 8:15 and getting in lower Manhattan at 9:30. There was not a car on site, so they scared everybody away from the train. It was unbelievable. Like, just the ride in was amazing. Myself, that at that time in the morning, there's no rush hour whatsoever, and we got right in. The only problem was with driving in, there was hard to find parking. So at one point, if you were watching the parade, my car was driving down the canyon of heroes. There was no other way for me to go. So they quickly, I drove down the beginning part, and I looped around and ended up finding parking. But like for the weather, just the atmosphere down there, for at this time of the year, it is unbelievable, especially when it's your team. Now, with that being said, I saw other teams down there as well. Believe it or not, I saw a couple of Jet jerseys down there. I saw a couple of Buffalo Bills jerseys down there. So, like, for New Yorkers, I think they, no matter what, if you're a Jet fan or a Giant fan or a Buffalo fan, it was just a great day for New Yorkers. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the YouTube clip, but of that girl, she's all decked out in Giants gear, and a reporter asked her, hey, so who you want to see the most? The lady blurts out Mark Sanchez. And
yeah,
I was like, hey, lady,
Giants,
like, who are you down here? So there's a bunch of people down there that didn't know what was going on. But as being a Giant fan, it was even more special. And not to, like, knock on the Jets or any other franchise out there, but how many times can you say, you know, hey, you know, there's not a guarantee your team's going to be marching down the ticker tape parade. And yeah, how many times can you say, like, we're going to be able to experience that? You know, it's like, there's not too many franchises out there that win as often as the Patriots does, or even the Giants. The Giants don't even, like, for football sense, they do. But when the last time they won was 4 years. The last time they won before that was 91. So it doesn't come that often.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. It is a once in a, you know, once in maybe a couple times in a lifetime opportunity. And, Kevin, we're going to let you go. But, you know, what I think, you know, I kept saying to myself, would I go if the Jets, would I take a day off of work and go?
Absolutely.
I don't think I would. Parades don't end. I swear to you. Even the Mets.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't go just because.
Because of what? I'm going to go watch the parade.
Go.
I swear to you, I wouldn't go.
You're not a Jet fan.
I wouldn't go if the Mets won.
Why did you go to the Mets? Come on. If the Mets won the World Series, you would go.
I swear to you, I wouldn't go.
I wouldn't
it doesn't appeal to me even a little bit.
There'd be too many people looking at me from, you know.
Well,
you know,
yeah. There would be all kinds of people. There'd be guys on the roof. There would be
security.
He'd be standing all
wearing a back.
He'd be talking about no traffic. There'd be no. All you do is drive behind O. There wouldn't be a car in sight. So, I don't know. I mean, you listen to him. You know, I talked to Kevin yesterday. He said, you know, he brought his kids down. Great experience. So, you know, maybe I would. I don't know. Let's go to another guy who's been on board with this whole run. He's been a friend of the show. This guy has sat there and predicted win after win after win for the G-Men.
And even more impressive, to me more impressive, was he won your Super Bowl pool and he ran the table.
The guy picked 11 of 11 games. Just to win, now spreads, pick 11 of 11 games. Neil Lynch, editor-in-chief of Co-Ed Magazine. Neil, you're with us, buddy.
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
What's happening? I mean, give me a breakdown. How did you watch this game? I know you live down, I don't know, you live in Hoboken or a city or something like that. Where did you watch
Hoboken.
This game? And what did you do? I mean, give me an idea how a Giants fan like you, you had money going with my pool, you had everything going for you, you've been predicting, you've been on air doing this. Tell me how you watched the game.
You know, I'm a house party kind of guy. You know, I like to settle into a couch with some friends and some good music, some good food. But I actually ventured out and I went to the Upper East Side. I have a buddy that lives up there. We went to East End Tavern. I got to see there's a bar up there called Brady's. They changed the name to Manning's. I thought that was appropriate. So, you know, I had some good vibes going into it right away that, you know, I had a good feeling that we would put in a good game. And but I got to tell you, it was stressful. It was stressful for a good chunk of time throughout that game. I couldn't even take a sip of beer. I mean, and you know that's stressful when I can't take a sip of beer. We're talking serious times.
Neil, last week you came in here, as I pointed out, you successfully ran the reverse on all the listeners talking about how great the Patriots were going to be. Gronkowski was unstoppable. What was the biggest surprise in terms of, you're obviously a student of the game and you had a lot of things you were looking out for. What were you most surprised that either did or didn't happen that you thought would happen and just never materialized?
Well, you know, in looking at Brady and his legacy and what he's done, and watching the highlights the next day, the anxiety levels or the impatience that he has, specifically when he faces the Giants, or not the Giants, I shouldn't be that specific, but maybe against better defenses that get some pressure on him, that have some decent coverage schemes. You know, they were pointing out some throws that he was making that they're not typical Brady throws. You know, he wasn't letting the play develop. He was trying to force some stuff. And, you know, and seeing that, you'd think, in my mind, I was thinking going into that game, Brady and Belichick are going to put their heads together and they're going to come up with a dynamic game plan to really befuddle and confuse the Giants' defense. And they come out and he gets a safety on an intentional grounding. You know, it's kind of, you know, for that first quarter and a half, you know, I'm sitting there going, is a blowout about to go down? And, you know, and then, of course, they turn things around. And, of course, I'm equally as confused at the end of the first half when they're up by one. You know, it's like, what happened? I felt like, you know, it came out of nowhere. So
it was like the Jets game where the Jets were dominating that first half, and then the big play happened, and boom, 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 you're down at the half. Yeah.
You know what's funny? It's almost like they're aging. Like, they don't have the ability to do that anymore. Like, it's not, you know, and it kills me that everybody's still surprised about it.
Yeah.
They're like, how come the Patriots didn't win this game? It's like,
they have no talent.
Neil makes a very good point. I mean, you always expect Belichick to outthink everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
And a little known fact, I'm sure Neil knows this, the day before the Super Bowl, you know, everyone's talking about how Belichick does this great thing of simulating the halftime show, and then the day before the Super Bowl, he cuts Taquan Underwood, who went to Neil's high school.
Really?
Yeah. Went to Neil's
high school. From Montour, New Jersey.
So you're thinking, wow, what does he have on up his sleeve? Ocho Cinco's going to be active. I'm putting money. Ocho Cinco's getting 50 yards. And then he comes out there, and it's the same offense, and it's the same defense. Nothing changed.
Yeah. But, you know, you pointed out that I was reverse-conning you. You got to admit that the Pats D is underrated. I mean, they stuck it to Eli a couple times. I mean, the pressure they were getting wasn't relentless like the 49ers, but they had three sacks on the day, and they had good coverage. You got to admit that they were blanketing Cruz for most of the game. You know, obviously they were doubling up on him, but, you know, Eli had to make some, and I hate to shower praise on Eli with Mike in the studio, but, you know, Eli made some really tough throws that not a lot of quarterbacks can do, and you can't put it on the Pats D. I mean, the one pass down the sidelines to Manningham, it's a drop in the bucket, and they had two guys out there. There's no reason for him to throw that ball. He does. He drops it in. Manningham somehow stays in bounds and makes the catch. And, you know, you can't put that on the Pats D. They had a great call and great coverage. So, you know, as much as you want the reverse con on that, I really stick to my guns and will say that the Pats D is solid.
Yeah, you know, that you talk about that throw. We didn't really get into that throw yet, but, I mean, the throw, to make that pass in that spot, to even take that shot, and then to put it where he put it, you know, everybody's still always going to talk about the Tyree catch, but, I mean, talk about the on what Eli Manning did. I mean, this vastly dwarfs what he did on that, on the Tyree throw. I mean, this was a pass for the ages, to be honest with you. Like you said, I mean, throw the ball downfield with the safety coming over top, and you drop it right there. I mean, the catch was fantastic, but to me, the throw was even better. And to do it in that spot, you know, it is the difference between, and granted, you know, Brady was doing it earlier in his career, but like I said earlier about Brady missing Wes Welker, you know, when the play needed to be made, you have Eli Manning putting the ball in a window that, you know, you could, the basketball hoop window, and Tom Brady with a wide open Wes Welker, and he's missing the spot. So that's the difference in games like that when you have two pretty evenly matched teams. And so, you know, you could look at, you know, Tom Brady. People are going to talk about Tom Brady completed X amount of passes in a row and broke whatever record. He was only good for a quarter and a half. He was good at the end of the second half and into the third quarter, and then he disappeared. You take away that great run, which you can't really take it away, but, you know, you eliminate that, and he had a terrible game.
Well, the turning point that a lot of analysts are pointing to is when Tuck had that sack in the third quarter. You look at his numbers before that sack, he's, you know, 20 or 24, he was lights out. And then Tuck comes in and lands on him kind of funny, and you see him on the sideline kind of shaking out his left shoulder like he's been dinged up. And he wasn't exactly the same after that. You know, you look at his numbers after that, I think he was like 10 of 17. Granted, he had a couple of bad drops, but he wasn't putting the ball on the spot like we're accustomed to. And at the same time, you know, I think the impatience and the anxiety level picked up again because he was worried about getting hit in that shoulder and doing further damage.
I think you make a good point. I mean, obviously, you can't say it wasn't a factor, but it's just that you say we've become accustomed to it. But lately, Brady, you know, there has been a lot of that. You know, he played awful against the Ravens. They were just a little off. And some, you know, and when you're little, I mean, granted, that
Hernandez will rank the Patriots now.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Neil, congratulations. You want to pull. I mean, this is really as good as it gets. You want to pull. You become managing editor. What else is there for you?
You got the hottest website in town. It is what it is, buddy. You're the bee's knees, pal. all right, Neil.
I still can't believe you rooted for the Patriots. It's amazing.
Thanks for joining us, Neil. Don't call back. All right. Well, now I think we've spent more time than we even thought we were going to on the Super Bowl, but I think now it's time to switch over. Everybody's favorite segment.
Say what? All right, here we go. Let's start off real quick with Peyton Manning. He said his next deal, he's open to entail little or no guaranteed money and significant performance-based incentives. What do you guys think?
I think that he means performance-based. If he's on the field, he wants $30 million.
Yeah, that's my guess. I mean,
and that's a performance. If he performs, he doesn't care. He wants $30
million. I think that it means it's just going to be games played type and very easy things to hit if he does play. I don't think it's going to mean he's got to throw for 4,500 yards. I think he needs, you know, if I play 13 games and I'm, you know,
if I am breathing and I am in uniform, you owe me a lot of money.
Yeah, which is fair enough. I mean, you get a healthy, you know, Peyton Manning, that's, you know, he's worth the money, bro.
All right. How about the Yankees trying to acquire Raul Ibanez?
I think it's the best fit they could find for that. Honest to God, I really like
it. I saw they signed your boy yesterday, Bill Hall.
Easy.
Mike's one of Mike's favorite fantasy players of all time.
I was very high on him going.
Third base, outfield.
He plays every position, none of them well, and he can hit a fastball.
But what he can do, though, is in a spot he can play well. You know, he's not a starter in the major league, but I don't mind that signing. I think Raul Ibanez, because we talked a couple weeks ago about what we thought they were going to do at the DH position. I think they want to give 30 to 40 games to A-Rod. They want to give Jeter a blow there. I think that you get Ibanez in there. He crushes righties. He can't hit lefties at all anymore.
Yeah. Where did Ibanez come from? Anyone know? He hasn't been in the league for
Ibanez.
Where have you been?
Yeah. Even I knew that.
I don't mind the idea of getting a guy like Ibanez. I'm a little concerned that the Yankees are getting very old.
Yeah.
Bill Hall, Ibanez. Is there anyone under 35 on that team?
Well, what are they going to do? What are they going to do for a guy with a part-time DH? You're not going to find a young, talented guy who's going to be a part-time
DH.
But
I worry that when you have this many old guys, somebody's bound to get hurt. And if you have no one on the bench who has –
You got other old guys on the bench.
That's my point. You have no one who's young enough to, like, step in. There's a lot of miles on that dugout.
I think he's –
Girardi has a better chance to come in.
The choice between Matsui, Damon, Russell Branyan, and Ibanez.
I like Damon.
You don't like Damon over Ibanez?
I like Damon too.
Yeah, no, I would go.
Too.
Yeah, I would take Damon.
I like Damon over Ibanez.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are wrong. Okay.
I know we already talked about the Madonna performance, but just in case you're listening, you should use that as your going away party.
Yeah.
Because that's.
Well, I think you're being a little. I mean, the only person Tony likes, we all know this, is Adele.
She's.
You
know what?
I love Adele.
Bring her to the half.
Because Adele can't even. She can't even sing for 20 minutes without her throat going out.
Well, no, that's just that's ridiculous.
What do you mean, no?
She has surgery.
She comes
back
for 6 months.
She has surgery. Of course, she needs surgery.
She's the Andrew Bynum of the singing world. She can't
stand a court. She's Greg Oden.
She can't stand a court.
Tim into the Grammy Awards. They're coming up in a week or so. No. She'll be there. Headlining.
Okay. She hasn't had one dance move since she was 12.
She doesn't need it, though.
She's going to stand in the middle of the football stadium and just put out ballads?
No, but you're going to, obviously, when you do
Celine Dion?
When you do these halftime shows, there's multiple artists, so you hook her up with another artist and they collaborate on something.
Right.
So you know, you're creative.
Right. Set fire to the rain.
Yeah, exactly. How about Mario Manningham on his return to the Giants? I want to come back. But I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to try and enjoy the Super Bowl. I'm not really thinking about it.
No shot he comes back. Somebody's going to throw a lot of money at him, and they just can't afford him. And, I mean, that's just the way of the world in the NFL.
Mario Manning.
Somebody's going to throw a lot of money at him.
He is going to end up – he is Deion Branch. He's going to end up on the Seahawks.
I thought the same thing.
He's going to end up on the Seahawks, and he's going to be like Alvin Harper back in the days of the Cowboys. What a great player. And he's going to be like, you know what? That guy is rich, but he is nothing.
Somebody's going to overpay for him, but I think he could be successful – in another spot. I just don't think he's the number one. That's gonna
Mario Manningham doesn't have – exactly. He's going to get paid like a number one. He has suspect hands and suspect route running, which is why he's the number three on the Giants.
But he makes plays in big spots. He has big play potential, which is always big. I mean, he did it last year. He had a couple huge, long touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? He could do that.
You know what?
Which
maybe he moves over to Florham Park.
I was going
to
say he'll be a Jet.
Yeah, I don't think they're best for him. We can't get rid of Santonio Holmes. No, we just didn't cut him. He was signed.
But he got his bonus, right?
He got his guaranteed money. Yeah, no, that's a smart idea. Thanks. Good job.
What do you got to think about Allen Iverson? He's in discussions of playing Puerto Rico.
I don't even know what that means. It's just like a pickup game?
I'm ready for it. No, I heard about
this. Is there a league in Puerto Rico?
I heard about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is a league.
Tony's got a Puerto Rican fantasy league. He knows all the guys. He's waiting to pick them up.
I heard about
on the waiver wire.
The only thing I can come up with is that Allen Iverson knows that if he goes to South America or anything
South America's part of America.
No, yeah.
I mean Puerto Rico is
if he goes to anywhere south of
territory.
If he goes to anywhere south of like the continental U.S.
Yeah.
He knows they're just kidnappings. My thought is he's got a lot of money problems and he's trying to set him up so he gets kidnapped. And gets ransom that's paid back.
He's going to be hanging on a beach with two
black babies. Yeah, like the reverse kidnapping.
Wow. Okay.
He has a lot. Stephen A. Smith says he has negative $10 million.
All right, fair enough. Still got the killer crossover in a pinch.
Are we going to talk about it all later about this guy who got cut? Are we going to talk about it right now?
Let's talk about it right now.
Quan Underwood.
Quan Underwood.
Who's from Central Jersey. That's how I knew that.
24 hours before the Super Bowl. All right, the guy has his family out there.
He was in the team picture. He's in the team picture.
It's a press day. Pictures on my internet.
My question, and I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to make excuses for the Patriots, but maybe the whole time they knew they were going to cut him, and they had to wait until the very last minute because they didn't want the Giants picking him up and stealing all the information.
That's exactly why. There is a rule that you can pick somebody up until the Saturday before the Super Bowl.
What did they keep him for? You're saying because
if they cut him, they knew they were going
to
cut him.
The Giants could sign him and be like, tell us the game.
What did they need to cut him for?
Because Gronkowski played special teams. And they felt they were better off having another defensive lineman and a guy who played special teams. And realistically, they're like, we can play Ocho Cinco.
And they already re-signed him. They re-signed him yesterday. They signed him the day after the Super Bowl. It was just a bit. I mean, I know it sounds horrible. This poor guy.
Awful.
I'm sure that he knew about it. It's not like he thought he was going to play.
You think so?
Well, this other guy. They didn't just fly him in. The guy that they called up from the practice squad. The big guy, they picked, the D lineman.
I would have been very annoyed that Ocho Cinco. Like, why is Ocho Cinco playing other than the fact that he was good 4 years ago?
Yeah, catch, didn't he?
I know.
We'll get into that in the prop bet section of our show. What else you got?
How about next year's Super Bowl is likely headed to New Orleans. I mean, not Super Bowl, Pro Bowl.
Okay.
Where the Super Bowl is.
Doesn't matter. It's still going to suck. No one plays.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's all in the same town. Maybe they make a whole week event of it. I kind of like the idea. Well, I already told you I hate the Pro Bowl. If you're going to do it, I like the idea.
Goodell was talking about getting rid of it. He was probably listening to the show. Rod,
yeah, he's a huge
Rod,
fan.
You know the number.
He texts me all the time trying to come on, but we don't have time. We had Damon Grant on today.
All right, how about Giselle, on her husband, Tom Brady? He says, my husband cannot I'm going to say it, fucking throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time. I can't believe they dropped the ball so many times.
Thanks for not knowing how to edit that out. But
that's a bleep button. Brandon Jacobs replied, let me just she needs to continue to stay cute and shut up.
Can I just start by saying I don't think she's that good looking.
You know what? You know what?
She's got a very good body. She's kind of got a butterface.
She's just about as aged as Tom Brady.
Yeah.
What we need to do is take votes on how many Super Bowls compared to SI covers they're going to get. She's got a rough
side profile.
What do you think? She got a what?
Rough side profile.
Yeah, she looks like good. A dude.
She's got a good side. She's like that girl in that Seinfeld episode where at the right light she's really hot.
Oh, does that agree?
I don't even know what you're talking about. All I want to focus on is Brandon Jacobs. You know, Giselle's, what does she know? She's from Germany. Like, who cares what she says?
She's been here for how many years?
Yeah,
but she's not from Germany.
My point is, she's not from a country that plays football.
They play football.
All she did was she didn't say it to a camera. It was overheard. She said it to her friend.
Bro, she didn't say it to her friend. She said it to a fan.
And yelled to her, and as she's walking away, she said to her friend, "Why does everyone expect Tom to do everything? What wife wouldn't stand behind her husband?" Now, at the same time, of course she doesn't know what she's talking about, but who cares? Brandon Jacobs, you won a Super Bowl. Who cares?
Brandon Jacobs.
He's from who cares?
The Giants are unclassy. They run their mouths, and that's part of their culture.
Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, that's right.
I got one more thing about the Giselle. If you take a look at the video, I thought it was interesting how she swigged the Aquafina, looking like it was vodka. I just wanted to throw that out.
That looked like
it was vodka for me.
Maybe.
God bless her. What about that?
I already talked about the Tom Brady stuff, so we'll just jump to Eli and Peyton. Everything's good to go. He got a good report from his doctor. They said, hey, you know, if it were my son, I'd give you the okay to play, so he's ready. What do you guys think? Is he going to be ready?
Well, I think he's definitely going to give it a shot. I mean, I know there were people even a couple weeks ago saying that they looked like he was going to retire. I know our friend of the show, Rob Lowe, reported he was going to retire. That was untrue.
That's
JT's favorite actor of all time. So, I think he's going to be – they're going to give him a shot, you know? I think he's – I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen him throw a ball. I have no idea.
Is he going to be ready for week one? My guess is no.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he starts week one somewhere.
Yeah,
we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. You never know what's going to happen because they want him to get hit in the preseason. And so maybe in that sense he may be ready in week one because he doesn't get hit at all. But I do think he will miss at least one game this year. Just a reminder – we are the Tri-State Sports Guys. You can find us everywhere. We're on TriStateSportsGuys.com, where after this show, it'll be back on there. Tony will put it up as soon as he can.
Yep.
You can call us in right now at 347-637-2306. We have a lot of callers. The message board's active, so we'll try to get to as many as we can. Go to our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Do everything you got to do.
Keep the tabs on us.
What should we get into next?
Let's see. JT, you got any who you got?
We'll
let James Tita, the meal ticket, out of here. He's going to be our guy here. We're going to give it a little who you got. Go ahead.
All right, who you got? Worst move, Giselle talking smack or Gronk dancing like a fool?
You know, I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about the Gronk acting like a fool, and I literally have no problem with these guys going out and getting hammered drunk after.
Me neither.
But what I don't get is, I mean, this guy, I'm sure he was in his boot. I couldn't see. I watched the video on my phone. But, I mean, how's this guy who was clearly a shell of himself in the Super Bowl, why is he out there dancing? If he's going to be hammered, he should be hammered with his foot up somewhere just getting Mai Tai'd in.
He's drunk. They probably shot him up with some.
He wasn't really dancing like he was drunk.
He was jumping up and
he
down.
He was dancing like, you know.
He should have got hammered before the game.
My point is that.
Yeah, exactly. If he's that's right.
They probably shot him up with some horse thing that Phil doesn't even feel his leg at all. So he's figuring out. Well, I'm hanging out with my boy Matt Light. I'm going to jump up and down.
If he didn't feel them, why was he so – I mean, they would show him on some of the plays where he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. He was running,
He couldn't even run.
Maybe he couldn't feel his leg at all. So Matt Light doesn't mind jumping up and down.
I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't care
about them partying. The game's over. You got to do what you got to do.
It doesn't look great, but who cares?
He was dancing around raving music, jumping around like a maniac.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing just as a man.
He's like taking his shirt off.
To be doing that in general, but that's a whole different
thing. He's 22. He's young and dumb.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah, I didn't do that when I was 22.
Just like me, but he is an awful dancer. Okay, moving forward. All right, so Kobe passed Magic, I believe.
Yeah.
All-time Lakers scorer.
No, Shaq.
Shaq.
I got to figure it out.
He passed him on the list of just all-time.
All-time Lakers scorer.
No, scored.
All time
score.
List in the history of the NBA.
Oh, this guy's getting crushed, though.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. I apologize. Either way,
yep.
Magic Johnson and the NBA Tonight guys on ESPN were debating it. And who do you think is the greatest Laker of all time? Kobe or Magic? And then I'll tell you what Magic said after if you don't know.
Oh, I don't know what he said. But
well,
you
guys know what he said? I believe it. I think Magic said Kobe.
He did.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, my first reaction is to say Kobe. And I know Magic is, you know, did all these things. I just think that what Kobe has done, I mean, obviously he was great with Shaq, but even after Shaq left, he was able to carry the team. I mean, to have that kind of franchise, we have those two kind of players. I think, you know, you could ask me this question after thinking about it a week later, I might have a different answer. My initial thing, I would say Kobe. What do you think?
I think Magic Johnson, he went against way better competition on a more consistent basis.
You say he went against better competition. You think the basketball players, you don't think a team right now, you think Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and those guys, as good as they were in the 80s, you don't think athletes have gotten better in the last 25, 30 years?
They did, but
they were better teams.
I think the defense was way better back then. I think that the way the league is now, defense is lax because of, like, the rules. Not necessarily the player's effort.
I think
we'll get into that in a little while because I have something to say about that. But I do think that Magic Johnson, on a consistent basis, had to deal with tougher games, playing the Celtics, playing the Bulls.
I think he was able to adapt to different positions a lot better than Kobe would be.
Obviously. I mean,
well,
Kobe's
yeah.
a great
putting,
scorer.
Kobe's not been put in that position.
There's no doubt Kobe's a better scorer. But
yeah.
But
yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's hard to compare them because, like you said, they're completely different. I mean, you want to compete, you know, you got a guy like Magic who did a little bit of everything and can play all five positions on the court,
yeah.
can dish the ball.
Yeah.
Kobe is just a pure scorer. So I guess the question becomes if you had to start a team, either one of them in their prime, or you're taking Magic or Kobe.
Magic.
You're taking Magic.
All day long.
And maybe it's because, you know, Magic was a little before my time. I remember, you know, I was 11 or whatever when he retired. But, all right, what do you got?
All right. Better shot at getting back to the Super Bowl, G-Men or Patriots?
Well, I think the Patriots only because I think the AFC at this point is a little easier road.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, everybody already is talking about the Giants repeating and becoming a dynasty. If they do that, then God bless them. Because you look at some of the teams in that conference with, you know, the Packers and you got the Saints. And then you got the up-and-coming Detroit, you know, Lions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Eagles are going to be better.
Oh, yeah.
The Cowboys are always going to be decent. I mean, it's just, to me, that conference has taken over as the tougher conference. So I think that next year the Giants will probably be better than than the Patriots. But I think you look at the Patriots, unless Peyton comes in place for the Dolphins, I think they're probably going to be the favorite to beat again.
Totally agree. Path of least resistance. Patriots have a better chance, only not because they're better, just because they'll have an easier road.
They have a ton of draft picks as well, just kind of stock up on guys.
They always do, and they stink at drafting.
They have four first two rounds, though, this year.
How's Lawrence Maroney doing?
Maroney, not very good. But Gronk's doing pretty well, though.
Just draft a couple more guys out of Rutgers. That's all they like to do. So he likes to do is just draft and sign guys out of Rutgers. That's it, because they got such a great program.
Ray Rice. All right.
They didn't get him.
All right. More perplexed.
Yep.
By Janet Jackson and Justin or MIA with the finger flip? What perplexed you more? Like, what was more like that? Why?
Well, anyone that knows, I was more perplexed by Janet Jackson just because who would ever think that would happen? Anyone that knows anything about MIA, I know very little about her. She is known for being controversial. She has what's considered like the raciest YouTube video of all time. They had to take it down off YouTube because there was like naked people in it. There were soldiers beating people up.
Yeah,
she was. What would make you think that she would go on this show and not be crazy?
Yeah.
She is crazy.
At the Grammys or the MTV Music Awards, she's like 8 months pregnant.
The only thing I remember doing this before, she was, I think she's about 12 months pregnant when I saw her.
She's a psychopath.
She's good, though.
She's not. So I like her.
Come on, millionaire? I mean, come
she
on.
She could, for sure. So do you think, I have a little follow-up here, do you think that in a certain respect, the NFL kind of got what it had coming to them by putting all those people together, the different personalities? I mean, geez, they were missing Justin Bieber, and they would have had the whole musical genre.
I think when you put MIA in there, you got what you – because she
who didn't do that background check?
She's known to be controversial.
They, you know what? They did.
Wait, everybody's still talking about
it. Who's in trouble for that?
NFL.
No.
Yes, it's like
the
NFL.
High
the NFL, but NFL made all those people sign an agreement that if something happened, they got sued. The person themselves owes the money.
Yeah, I mean,
what could you sue them for?
Well,
if the NFL did
no,
if
fine.
That's
the FCC fines the NFC,
fine.
I'm sorry.
Deal,
and those fines are hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Tough luck, MIA.
Yeah.
All right, last one. A little bit of a bonus question, kind of outside the box as far as who you got. So today they went over the most hated players in entire sports from a fan's perspective.
Yeah.
So you saw this?
I saw some of it, yeah.
Did you see it, Mike?
No.
All right, so then – oh, don't answer. I'm going to give you these five guys in no particular order, and I want you to guess who is the number one hated out of these five.
Okay.
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah. Wait, these are by fans or by other players?
By fans.
Okay.
Ndamukong Suh, Plaxico Burress, Tiger Woods, Michael Vick, or Chris Humphreys? Tony, you can weigh in.
Well,
if you haven't seen this, you can weigh in.
My gut from watching a lot of Nets games, and if it is this, it's ridiculous. My gut is going to say the hump. Chris Humphreys, I think people just hate the guy. I don't know why. All he does is bang the boards, but I think it's Chris Humphreys.
I think
it's something else.
What does your head say then, if that was your gut?
My head, you asked me those guys, I would probably say, who'd you say after Plaxico?
Humphreys, Ndamukong Suh, Plax, Tiger Woods, and Vick.
Oh, Tiger Woods.
Okay, you're right. Michael Vick and Tiger Woods were tied.
Okay.
1-2 at 60%. Plaxico Burress, number 3. Ndamukong Suh, 4. Chris Humphreys, 5. LeBron James, 6. Kobe Bryant, 7. Terrell Owens, 8, who's not even really an athlete anymore.
Yeah.
A-Rod, 9, and Kurt Busch, NASCAR, making the show.
Wow!
Who cares about him?
Yeah,
man?
We guess we'll get Rich from Milford in. He'll tell us all about Kurt Busch and whatever he did wrong. Who knows? What do you think? Would you agree with that? I mean, I don't know. I don't like any of them, really.
They're all zeros to me.
Yeah.
If I'm being totally honest.
Zero?
As a person, he's less than zero.
He's not a good guy. Well,
I'm going to tell you right now, Kobe Bryant.
He still is like one of the most selling jerseys in the NBA.
Kobe Bryant is this guy.
He just bum race girls in Colorado.
Listen to me. Kobe Bryant is that guy that you walk in.
Tony. That's the truth.
Kobe Bryant's that guy that he goes places and he has that air like, yeah, I'm Kobe Bryant and I know you're staring at me. I'm going to act like I'm too cool to say hello to you because I'm not grateful for anything. F Kobe Bryant.
Whoa.
There you go.
I think out of anybody on that list, Kobe's probably the most approachable.
Oh, you're insane.
All right, guys, let's get it. Let's transition over to the top 10.
Nope. Let's give the number one more time. 347-637-2306. TriStateSportsGuys.com. You're listening to us on NDB Media, Blog Talk Radio. We're on every Wednesday, 8 to 9:30.
Hit us up on Twitter, whatever you got to do. We'll be here every Wednesday, 8 to 9:30. All right, so we are in our first ever show. We premiered
January 1st,
2011.
Yes, sir.
Our first show we did, Top 10 Quarterbacks.
It was our most controversial show.
And it really did. It really made a lot of people really dislike me, even though we all had Eli out of the top 10, by the way. For some reason, I'm the only one that got a lot of people.
The reason is, when I make a list of top 10 and I simply say something like Eli's number 11, you went and compared him to Sanchez, which really got people going.
Yeah.
But I will say this. My friend to the show, friend to everyone here, personal friend of mine, Danny Mara, congratulations on his family's Super Bowl victory. He hit me up today and he said, what's your top 10? I told him. And he said to me, if Eli Manning is not in your top 5, I'm never talking to him.
To you?
To me. So it's not. You're not the only person that people are coming after.
Well,
he came after me a little. That's how strong he feels.
Well,
I don't know what just happened there.
We'll see. Now, let's start going to...
don't worry. Everything's safe.
We have two people behind the glass, JT and Tony, are shocked.
What do you mean? We're going to minimize for a half second.
I didn't like it. All right. So how do you want to do it?
I'll go first because people, I'm sure no one, they want to see where you have
the
great
deal. Do your list, and I'll see where I had those people.
It's top 10 quarterbacks based on where we would put them next year if we
who
were.
Would, yeah, top 10 for the Raiders next year. I'm sure Carson Palmer didn't make your top 10.
He is not.
So and I'm saying for the Jets, Sanchez,
yeah,
unfortunately, did not make my top 10. These are the order I would want guys starting for the Jets in 2012. We're not talking about long term. We're talking about right now.
Absolutely. Number 10, Mike Vick.
Mike Vick was my number 10.
He was one of my top 4, I believe, last time.
Yeah,
the problem with him, he was always injured. The guy's electric, but he's always injured. So as a result, I want him on my team. I don't know that I trust him.
Yep.
Number 9, Romo. I think Romo – I'm sorry, number 9, Philip Rivers.
Oh, wow, because I had Romo 9. I thought you looked at my list.
No. Number 9 – why would I have to cheat? Why do you accuse me of cheating?
You always bump stuff off everything. He just goes to, like, Peter King's website and just downloads
something.
This
is Peter King, peterking.com. Number 9, Philip Rivers. I think that he gets a bad rap because he's a bad dude, but the guy slings the ball around.
You know, I have Rivers number 8, you look at Rivers, I mean, the guy's numbers, you can't deny. This was his worst season ever.
Exactly.
And he had a good year. His quarterback rating for his career is 95. He just has bad playoff games.
But
he wins in December.
Here is a bold prediction of mine. I don't know why I'm saying this. You and I had Romo and Rivers flip. Romo's my number 8. I think at the end of Romo's career, he's going to win a Super Bowl, and he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame because his numbers are way better than anyone gives him credit for.
You know, and we'll talk about, because I have Romo number 9, but I think when everybody compares, they talk about Eli and Peyton and his brother, and I just think it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because they're two different types of quarterback. Yep. Eli's more of the gunslinger type, and that's why he has bad seasons and bad stretches. But that's also why, I mean, I think a better comparison to Eli is he's somewhere between Romo and Brett Favre.
Yeah.
In there where, you know, when he's on, he makes – I mean, the pass that he made to Manning – and we'll get to Eli Manning. But, you know, that's the type of pass that Romo would try.
Yeah.
You know, even if he's having a bad game, Romo tries to sling it. I like Sommer. He's my number 9.
Number 7, Matthew Stafford. I couldn't put him – why?
That was my number 7. My 8.
I couldn't have him any higher.
I hate my list right now.
Only because he
– mine's different.
Only because he hasn't done it for longer. But the guy's got all the talent in the world, and every day he goes under center, he's got Megatron.
He has every ability to be in the top 5 next year.
Number 6, I put Peyton Manning. This is obviously because of injury. I don't know how much I trust him. There are some other guys that I would just feel more comfortable for a 16-game season.
All right, I had Peyton number 4. Even with the injury, I'm telling you right now, I mean, he never had a bad year.
I'm not worried about his year. I'm just worried about whether he's going to play.
I'm not a doctor. If this doctor says I'm going to let my son play, then I got to trust that if I'm a Jet fan, I would want him. If the doctor's going to let his son play with this injury, then I'm going to trust that Peyton Manning come in there. And I'm sure you should spend watching film for the last 52 weeks.
Number 5, I got Big Ben. He just always finds a way to make it happen. Another guy that he doesn't look like he's mobile, but he keeps plays long enough, alive long enough to make a play, and he's a winner. And
he's my number 5 as well.
Number 4, I do have Eli Manning. He isn't higher only because I feel like this is not a knock. He is at his best in these crazy games, at the end of games. You hear people talk about that all the time. But I'm not sure. The inconsistency, the Romo-type thing, for a complete game, I think there are people in the league that I don't think you're ever going to have Eli Manning does every game put up 100 quarterback rating. He's just not that type of player.
Right.
And the three guys I have ahead of him, I think, are capable of that.
I have Eli number 6, which is a huge jump. The guy didn't make –
couldn't even make top 5 rating.
Well, I mean, I have
no way he can put him in the top 5.
I had nothing to do with
that.
That's
not in principle.
Not a chance.
5.1.
It was a big debate over Eli and Stafford for number 6, and I put Eli there because of what he does in big games. But to me, I'm looking at – it's amazing to me that everybody looks at this season, and now all of a sudden you didn't even have him in your top 10 or 11, and now you're talking about possibly putting him in with the all-time greats. He had one good season, and the season wasn't even an outrageous season. He really had a great stretch. But in the games that they lost, if he's so great, and they had this talented team, I'll keep harping on their 7 losses and his 15 turnovers. He still does that, even in a season where everybody says the best season of his
career.
You're
calling me the negative guy. You're the one only focusing. I'm focusing on the left.
I put him number 6.
Through 9
I didn't have him in my top 15 last year. He's the biggest jump. If you use the stock, I'm buying him. He went from 15th to 6th. What do you want me to put him? But this is the reason why. I just don't think I don't think you're going to look at him and next year he's going to be the same quarterback. He's had good seasons in the past, and then he's fouled him up with stinkers.
Fair enough.
You know, even the season he won the first Super Bowl, you know, he had 20 picks. He led the league in picks.
Listen, we know we're not going to convince you. You got him 6.
Got him 6.
I'm sure people would be hitting me up.
It felt like we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum here.
Number 3, I got Tom Brady. Not because I think he's better than Eli Manning in a big spot, but simply because over a 16-game schedule, he's the guy who's going to put up more prolific numbers. He's going to have 100 quarterback rating every night. I don't think Eli just – that's not his game.
Yeah.
And it's not a knock. I mean, the guy's a winner.
Right.
Number 2, I have Drew Brees. I just think you get Drew Brees, he just seems to play faster. Maybe just the whole offense is faster. He gets the ball.
He recognizes things faster.
He gets rid of it quicker. There's just something about him that
he's
I
like
love.
Peyton, though, when he's in his prime. Get the ball, make the read, get the ball out of
him. Absolutely. Number 1, MVP, Aaron Rodgers. I love that guy. He throws strikes. He's mobile. He does everything you want out of a quarterback.
Now, I think we're probably all going to – I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for the other two guys. But, I mean, I have the same top 3. It's just a different order. I got Brees 3, Rodgers 2, and Brady 1.
You got Brady 1.
I got Brady 1 still. I'm telling you right now. The guy this year, if Aaron Rodgers – what?
Mike's view, or not the views of the Tri-State Sports guys, they're solely his own.
The guy broke,
trashed the throw he made in the Super Bowl, and now
yeah,
he's
he had a bad game. So you're going to talk about Eli Manning's season, and that puts him ahead of Tom Brady. Tom Brady would have broke, he did break Dan Marino's record this year.
I put Tom Brady ahead of him.
Yeah, but
I just didn't put Rodgers or Breeze ahead of him.
No way.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Or Breeze ahead of him.
I think out of the guys, he is by far the least amount of weapons. Out of the guys in the top four, top of four or five that you guys have, he's got no weapons and he's able to do it. I mean, he single-handedly, without Tom Brady, that team this year is a 8-win team. Honestly, you put a mediocre quarterback, maybe less. And I think I hate Tom Brady. I have no reason to say it. It's not like I'm promoting him. I think he's a horrible person, but he's a very good quarterback. Who you guys got?
Tony, you want to go first?
I got, for my 10, I got Matt Schaub and Romo at 10. Like, I couldn't make it.
I could see Schaub. Yeah, he's just been standing field.
My number 9, if we're going by, you're going by what? Starter for next year?
Yeah.
I had Peyton Manning. I just don't trust it.
Okay.
I don't trust the next thing. I mean, of course he wants to come back, but, you know, I don't know. One wrong hit in there and he could be done.
Fair enough.
My number 8, I got Stafford. I just, you know, he's young. I want, you know, next year, that would be a nice young candidate to have in there. Michael Vick at 7. I have Michael Vick at 7. You know, gets hurt a lot, but he takes chances. The guy can do things in any situation. Then at number 6, I had Phillip Rivers. 5, I had Roethlisberger. Eli Manning at 4. Tom Brady, 3. Aaron Rodgers, 2. And I got to go Drew Brees, number 1. Drew Brees, he... Like you guys said, he makes decisions quick. He has a solution for every situation that he's in, and I like the way, and he does it calmly.
Yeah.
So, and I had to put Breeze number 1.
The top 3 are clearly interchangeable. Again, you can ask me this question in a couple months, I might change my mind. But all right, what do you got?
All right, I got a pretty different list. I'm going to say this: I have no Peyton and no Michael Vick, who's my guy on this list.
Okay.
Number 10, Andy Dalton, 20 touchdowns, 3,400 yards as a rookie.
Let's move forward. No. All right. We're not even
Andy Dalton is a boss.
Andy
Dalton is a boss.
I'm going.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he looks great. Go ahead. Had 7 turnovers against the Ravens. Go ahead. Keep going. Now, what's number nine?
Right, number 9, Matt Schaub. If he could stay on the field, he'd be a stud.
Okay.
Number 8, Cutler. He was their whole team. Clearly, Forte got hurt. I do not like Jay Cutler at all. I can't stand the way he moves his shoulder after every throw. I can't stand him.
He can't stand his double chin. But I'll tell you, he is a guy that I considered in my top 10
as
well.
And he's tougher than you give him credit for.
He's very tough, and he clearly, once they lost him, they were nothing.
So 7, I got Phillip Rivers for the obvious reasons. 6, and then these 4, 5, 6 coming up are really hard for me to jumble. I like all these guys the same. 6, I got Stafford. 5, I got Eli. 4, I have Roethlisberger, Brady 3, and then 1 and 1A, I have Breeze and Rodgers. And the only reason I have them 1 and 1A and Brady 3 is you guys just think they're a little more athletic than him. They kind of avoid the rush more, and I like that in a quarterback.
All right. Personally. Makes sense. Good list. I mean, you know, I can't really agree with your Andy Dalton call. We do have
Andy Dalton's my wife. He's my wife.
I have
my against the green.
I have
he's will have a better year than Peyton Manning.
All right. I have it first. Calling it right now. Andy Dalton's better year than Peyton
Manning. I give Peyton Manning on one leg a better year than Andy Dalton.
I'm not even going to justify that conversation.
Can we mute them first? Yeah. The booth?
I have a feeling I know where this next call is going. Let's welcome
Sean from Norwalk.
FSAC, Coach of the Year. Moose, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Moose. Just get right into it. Just tell us what you're thinking. Something's clearly on your mind right now.
I just want to know, I'm the ignorant responder from that first post. I just want to know where Mike has Josh Freeman on his list right now.
Well, I think the only person you can really compare Josh Freeman to is Eli Manning, really, because he had one very good season.
Oh,
so, I mean,
okay.
Josh Freeman had a very good season. I think when we look next year and everybody's got him in Eli Manning in their top 4, you're going to say, wait, you can do that after one good season? The season that Josh Freeman had last year was more impressive than the season that Eli had this year, statistically.
No, but last year, where was the show last year after January, right? And you said, who would you rather have this year? Everybody said Eli Manning, and you called me ignorant for saying Eli Manning. And it was proven that he had a lot better season than Josh Freeman.
And nobody else said Eli Manning, but everybody on the board here had him not in their top 10. It's not like just me.
You called me ignorant because I said Josh Freeman wasn't good.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, because you can't say that. If you didn't know that he had a good season, then that's ignorance. Yeah, that's true. That's the definition of the word ignorance, is not being informed. So to say that Josh Freeman didn't have a good year last year is uninformed.
Moose, this is your chance to puff your chest out. Tell Mike what you think about Eli Manning and what he meant to your team this year.
He's just the best quarterback in the league, hands down. Enough said. That's ignorant. That right there is ignorant. But, you know, I'll let you guys go. You guys do a great job. Keep it up.
All right, get back in the film room, Coach.
That's Coach Moose, as always. I knew he was going to refer to your ignorant comment.
That was really what put the show on the map.
Yeah, you call him the best coach in FCI.
That guy was in my wedding. All right, so got 15 minutes left. Enough time for a good 5 and 10, guys. You ready to get right into it?
Let's do it.
All right.
Commercial-free. We're like the World Cup.
All these guys on SiriusXM, they're going to need commercials. No, not us. All right, number one, Super Bowl prop bets. What do you got for, like, your favorite one? Do you have any funny stories about it? I mean, to me, I'll give you one that I bet on personally. I want it. I know, you bet on it, but you had crazy odds. I don't know why you did what you did. So it was the Ocho Cinco. His over-under for receiving yards was 9.5. So the funny story is, so I told you earlier, I'm outside smoking a cigar during the halftime show, and I'm out there with a couple of Giants fans. We're talking about the first half, yada, yada. And we hear that inside the house, it erupts. So we think there must have been a huge play, a kick return to start the half or something. We come inside. We're like, what's going on? They're like, Ocho Cinco just had a 22-yard catch. You would have thought that the guy just made a David Tyree-like catch. That's the most exciting. That's what makes prop bets exciting.
I texted you the second I made the bet. I said, and I quote, I just made a horrible bet. I knew it was 9.5. I wanted way over. I wanted some odds, so I bet over 50 yards because, as average, you're the one who brought me on to
50 yards.
Because Mike's point was, Mike was talking to me a couple weeks ago. His average yards per catch is like 18 or something.
18 a catch.
So I figured he's going to be a prominent player because of Gronk. If he gets 3 catches, I'm in.
Right.
When was the last time he had 3 catches before that
game?
He had 16. Now, like I said, it was a bet I had with odds. Why not make that bet? You know what? I won a lot of bets. That was not one of them. I won a coin toss. Always call tails. Anytime you can bet that the guy's going to call tails, bet it.
Tails never fails.
Never fails.
Now
it didn't win. I just bet who would it call, not what it would land on.
Okay. Now, everybody in the world does these box pools.
Yep.
So, you know, we got to talk about some bad beats. Now, I heard about some terrible beats. The worst one I heard probably is, I got a buddy of mine whose father was in a big-time box pool. I think it's $500 a box. The fourth quarter score was $30,000, okay?
Yeah.
Guy had Giants 8, New England 7, which meant end of that game, everybody thinks they're just going to kneel on the ball, kind of run the clock out, kick that field goal. And that's even what they were trying to do, and stupid Ahmad Bradshaw busts through that line and can't stop himself, falls into the end zone, and my man lost $30,000. I mean, what if you're sitting on, man, all they got to do is kneel on the ball here, run it down to a few seconds, kick a field goal, I'm $30,000 richer. That's pretty bad.
That is clearly the worst one. I had where if they had gotten a field goal there, and then the Patriots came down and won, I would have won it. In your particular pool, if they had gotten a 2-point conversion, I would have won your pool.
Yeah.
Not a $30,000 loss. I won some boxes, so I can't complain. But that is as bad a beat as you're going to get.
I took a bad beat on the prop bets. I had Lawrence Tyne plus 7.5 points. He had 2 field goals, an extra point, and they went for 2 and didn't go. I missed out on that. But I did not lose $30,000, fortunately. But that's, you know, prop bets. Box pools are always exciting. Let's switch gears over to baseball. Josh Hamilton, last week, he gets found in a bar. Ian Kinsler actually had to pull him out of the bar, forcefully pull him out of the bar. I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, it's a horrible story. We all know people who battle with addiction in different ways, and it grips you so much. I mean, you hear this guy give interviews. He knows that it's destroying his life. What's he doing in a bar, and especially in your hometown? It's like he's begging to get caught.
Here's what I make of it. Like you said, there's nothing we could say about the illness of addiction. But I want to talk about the idiocy of the Texas Rangers, who decided we're not going to get Prince Fielder because we'd rather put our money into Josh Hamilton, who clearly isn't a reliable guy. It's not nothing personal, but that's a fact. The other thing is, he called Ian Kinsler. Like, Ian Kinsler was the guy to call. Ian Kinsler admitted to just picking him up, dropping him off somewhere else, and saying, don't go back to that bar. That's not what a guy in that situation should do. Josh Hamilton's reaching out to you. You stay with that guy all night. You bring him back to his house.
You make sure his wife is there to take care of him, and you leave. Otherwise, you're just a guy who's just driving him from one bar to another.
I mean, he helped. What do you want the guy to do? He's a professional baseball player. He's probably got a family, wife, and kids of his own.
If you are a friend of his and a guy reaches out to you and he's an addict and he's reaching out to you, like the one last thing that he is smart enough to do, and then you just drop him off somewhere else, you're just letting him get back to his defense.
Yeah, but maybe that stuff has been going on for a while. Maybe
no doubt it has.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe
no doubt it's like, oh, it's just Josh.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he's like, again, you know, but nobody else has ever found out about it.
Maybe.
You know?
Oh, I completely agree with you, but how about this? What about the bartender serving him in Texas? How do you do that?
Not make money.
You got a baseball player in your room. You got to give him a drink.
He's
probably
Josh
sweet.
Hamilton, though. It's
yeah.
Josh Hamilton.
But you know what? I don't know. I mean, is it really your place to say no?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
He'll just go to some other bar.
I guess.
Although he only carries $20 on him. But that's the other thing. They got rid of his handler. His handler left.
He got a new one today, though, or something, right?
Well, and it was going to be his father-in-law he chose, and his father-in-law said he didn't want to do it.
They got some random guy.
And they got some random, but he had that little window to do his thing. All right, now we got to switch gears over to basketball. We got to talk a little bit about this Jeremy Lin kid over in New York. I mean, you know, he had that big game against the Nets. I wasn't too impressed. Everybody has big games against the Nets. But then he followed it up with a 28-8 game against the Utah Jazz, who are a solid team. I mean, they're not a joke of a team. They got some players
over
there.
Although he played awful in the fourth quarter.
He turned the ball over a lot in the fourth quarter. Now, my thing is, the guy was a stud coming out of high school. He won a state championship in California. Didn't get one scholarship offer. So he wound up he applied to all the Ivy League schools, went to Harvard, did fantastic at Harvard. Still couldn't get a look, you know, couldn't get drafted. He wound up signing with Golden State. Didn't get a lot of burn there last year. Signed with some, I don't know who he signed with, some other team, maybe the Mavericks or somebody. Didn't last very long, and then got signed by the Knicks. Now my question is, I mean, you don't want to bring race into this, but you think a guy, seriously, you think a guy who won a state championship, carried a team to a state championship in California, you don't think that has something, him being an Asian American, has something to do with the fact that he wasn't getting recruited? How is that possible? This guy that Noah Kai, who are all second team all FCS, can go play at.
Maybe that's the reason why he doesn't go to the big time school, but some school didn't find. I really think that he is truly.
His high school numbers were sick.
Maybe he just seems to be truly a system player. I think that if he were a guard in many of these other types of offenses, he wouldn't be anything.
So his high school coach is just a fantastic coach?
No, maybe it's the same type of system where he pushes it up, but a college coach is looking at him and is like, you know, he's not that big, he's not that fast. But what bothers me about this is not all the credit in the world to him, but just shows you why some people are down on the NBA. A guy like this who is a nobody, all he does is hustle, and he does nothing but try to make a correct play, and he dominates on the floor. It just shows you some of these guys aren't trying all the time.
Yeah.
And it makes me sick that these guys with all this talent don't try. And here is Jeremy Lin, who is doing nothing more than just giving 100% at all times, and he's successful because no one else is giving
100%. He's all left. He only goes to the left. There's a couple games I've watched him. But the guy makes plays, and you know what? I don't think this guy's going to be a 20-10 guy, but I think he could be a valuable piece. And I do think, you know, everybody was thinking that Baron Davis is going to be the savior in New York. Now it takes a little bit of pressure off him because you're only going to ask Baron Davis to maybe give you 22 minutes.
I think the problem is it's clear that the Knicks are better without their superstars.
Well, I think what shows you, and I don't think D'Antoni's a great coach, but I think it shows you that his system needs a smart point guard who can move the ball. And they didn't have that, and he is, maybe that's what you mean by system, and he is the perfect guy for that. And Raymond Felton was a good guy for that. Just a true point guard type guy who could, you know, distribute the ball and push the floor, you know, and do things like that.
D'Antoni clearly doesn't have any eye for talent since Lin's been sitting on his bench. He sent him to the D League.
Yeah, he said he thought that going to him early without it would be a sign of panic. No, it's a sign of being a good coach, but it's gonna be good. So I wish the guy good luck. I mean, it's, you know, you always want to see an Ivy Leaguer do well, and he seems like a good kid. So all right, topic number four, moving over back to baseball. Brian Cashman. You know, it came out last week that there was a woman being sued for got arrested for extortion. Then the poor guy had those voicemails that got let out. Did you hear those voicemails?
No, I didn't.
I heard it actually. What
did they say?
You just hear him go, hello. He does this creepy hello. It's Brian Cashman. He uses his full name. Like, who calls a girl and go, this is Michael DePalma calling. This is Brian Cashman, just thinking of you or whatever. And he called from his office phone. He goes, and then he leaves his number. He's like, if you give me a call, be in my office at 212, blah, 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 whatever it is. And he leaves his number. And so he clearly had a relationship with this girl. He was separated from his wife, but then Hickory Dickory Dock. His wife files for divorce after this call comes out, which means she's in store for a nice payday because now she can clearly say she's at fault at this thing. What do you think? I mean, why do these guys do this? How could you be that stupid? You know these girls are going to – I mean, I understand why people cheat. You're in power. You can do it. But why, what are you doing leaving voicemail? Hey,
what are you doing giving money to her the first time and not thinking she's coming back a second time?
Yeah, she's
– Haven't you watched any movie?
I'm sure, it was like a weird – it was a $6,000, a weird amount. Like whatever she owed on her car, like just to get her by. Oh, this will be good. This will be good hush money. We got.
And I'll be honest. He could do better.
I didn't
he's
see
a general manager of the Yankees. He could do better.
Is he not – she not good looking? He's a weird looking dude.
Yeah, he's a weird looking
dude. It doesn't matter. He's a general manager of the New York Yankees.
I don't think the random girl off the street, I mean, he's got money, but I don't know a random girl. Oh, Brian Cashman? The girl didn't even know who Mark Sanchez played for. Girls don't know that stuff. They know Brian Cashman? Yeah,
every
Kobe
girl,
Bryant, dude.
Every girl's a fake Yankee fan. He can say, I run the Yankees.
Yeah, oh, I'm a fake Derek Jeter fan, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, maybe, I could see that.
Fake Yankee fans,
right? Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
All right,
I'm a real Yankee fan.
All right, Yankee fans. We're not making a Yankee show here. We left some time left. Oh, what do you got?
Listen.
Pop culture potpourri, everybody's favorite.
Truly has nothing to do with sports, but this has been bothering me.
Oh, boy.
And I think I've, you know.
Is it Boonchin?
We are going from this show, and I think this is our chance to really become rich. Tony, you can thank me later. This is a technological idea, and no one can help me so far. I'm watching TV, these TiVo, and I watch a lot of great shows that I find entertaining. I TiVo the shows, and then I'm going through them, and I'm like, oh, what happened to this show? And then I Google it, and I find out, like, that show got canceled. And I always wonder, what happens to the episodes that never get aired? Like, granted, the show gets canceled because only 3 million people
watch. Like my favorite show, Community.
Got renewed for one more.
But perfect example.
One more year.
Flash forward with the show I watch. Now, I'm not the only person who watches it. A couple million people watch it. Maybe not enough. But there are a couple million people that watch that show and want to know what's going to happen. So I always feel like there should be a website or some sort of system you can go to where maybe the writer just goes on there and say, by the way, for the 2 million people that care, this is how that show
was
going.
He's never going to – if it's really that big of a show, he's never going to do
well,
that.
Why not?
He wants to get paid.
No, the show already got canceled.
But here's what happens, though. The station that owns the show. They won't let that happen.
That is true, too.
No way, because I want to know how I know. I used to like watching Lucky Louie, the Louis C.K. show on HBO. They canceled the show. He had shows in the thing, and he got offered by Showtime a deal.
You know, he's on TV again, right?
Now he's on TV. Yeah. It's a different show. It's a good show. And they said that they wouldn't even let him.
Them.
He wouldn't even let him go to Showtime.
Well, see, that makes no sense. Why is that smart? If I cancel a show, that means I don't like the show. I'm the studio guy. I don't like your show, Mike. I'm canceling it.
They don't want anybody else to make money. They paid money for it.
Then why don't they just keep airing it and just not renew them? Put it on at 2 in the morning for all I care. Put it on somewhere instead of the shake weight. I want to know what happened to Flash Forward. You want to know what happened to Community.
That's what show you're talking about?
Flash Forward.
Oh,
it was a great show.
You have the worst taste in show.
You have no idea what you're talking
about. I think you got to get
home. Were there any field goal kicking Clydesdales in that show? I haven't seen it.
If you don't know that commercial.
I know it. I don't think it's funny.
People thought it was one of the best ones in that Super Bowl, whatever Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and
I also thought the halftime show was in
it. I got you for all you Apple Crabs viewers. That's the same thing that's going to happen to you.
I know. I'm watching Apple
Crabs.
I watch it, and I see that it is going nowhere fast.
And that's it. You're going to be on it. It'll behind its home.
One other thing. So the Kim Kardashian.
I think it's Kardashian.
No. Like Kutcher. Now, the other thing, you know, everyone, we're talking about the hump earlier, and everyone hates him. He apparently is going to sue because he wants the divorce proceedings to be public because he has evidence that one of the scenes in Dubai where Kim Kardashian's telling her mom I want to get a divorce didn't happen. It was staged like months later in an L.A. studio. They have pictures of Kardashian coming out with her mom in the exact same outfit she was wearing on that show when she was, quote-unquote, in Dubai, where she's, like, crying and talking about how she wants a divorce, which leads to – gives credence to Humphrey's release. It was just fake. So who knows? Kim Kardashian, I'm down on her. I'm sick of her. Thanks again for listening. I don't want any comments on that. I hate Kim Kardashian. I used to love her. It hurts. TriStateSportsGuys.com, NBBMedia.com, Block Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. 347-637-2306. Mike, Tony, what pissed you off?
You know what? I'll tell you a couple things that pissed me off. It pissed me off all week. The fact that everybody's angry for rooting, that they're questioning the fact that I'm not a Jet fan because I rooted for the Patriots. That's just stupid. I like the Jets more than I like most things in life. So the fact of who I rooted for has nothing to do with what I like about it. So it just frustrates me to tell me who I like because of who I rooted for.
Tony and your crazy beard, what pissed you off?
Nothing pissed me off. I want to let everybody know. Oklahoma City Thunder and the Seattle Sonics are going to the championship this year.
There you go.
In a good mood.
That's it for us. Have a good week, everyone. We'll
Bring
see you next week.
Sonics.